thankful for the Lord's presence here in our midst, and I believe He wants to bless us. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, for Your people. I thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that's here to teach us, to guide us, to help us, to comfort us. I pray, Father, that You just have Your way in us tonight. Lord, that by Your word, Lord, You would birth in us what You desire. And Father, that we would persevere, continue on in it until we see a great harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. We're a blessed people. I want to talk to you tonight about blessings. That's good. It's a whole lot better than talking about curses. I'm glad we're delivered from the curse of the law. But you know, in Jesus, we don't have a lesser covenant. Have you ever read the blessings of Deuteronomy 28? Three of you. The rest of you, you have a homework assignment. Go home and read the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. Because I want you to think about this. We have a better covenant. It's not a lesser covenant. See, a lot of people read the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 and they think, wow, those are some great promises. Wow, those are some great blessings. Too bad those aren't for us today. What we have today is even better. Now, personally, I believe it includes those blessings. I really do. I don't believe that the Lord said, oh, we can't have those anymore. No, I believe that what we have today includes those and much, much more. But I'm just telling you that the Lord wants to bless us. Ephesians 1 and 3, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You see, we're already blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Already been done. In Christ Jesus, in the heavenly realms, I'm telling you, there are blessings that belong to you. Spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings in Christ. Spiritual blessings. Somebody might be thinking, well, how about just blessing me with $1 million instead? Something tangible. I want to tell you, there are a lot of people in this world who have money and have no peace. There's a lot of people in this world that are famous, have power, and they don't have any peace. I wouldn't take anything for the peace that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of unhappy people in this world. They're mad and upset, depressed all the time. I wouldn't take anything for the joy that I have in Jesus Christ. I tell you, in Him we have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I'd rather have that than everything that this world has to offer and have a soul that is empty, and a soul that maybe is not empty, maybe is full of anxiety and stress. A lot of people in this world have a lot of what we might consider tangible blessing, but I'm telling you, Jesus said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Oh, you need to understand how blessed we are. He's blessed us by calling us His sons and daughters. Behold what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. What a blessing. He's blessed us to make us a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He's blessed us with the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our life, the greater one living on the inside of us. What a blessing. I'm just telling you, we are blessed, and you need to know that. But I want to tell you tonight, too, that He's not done blessing you. there's more. It's in his nature to bless. See, he is love. He is good. He's merciful and gracious. And he doesn't want to harm you. He wants to bless you. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." No sorrow with it. Just blessing. So we need to know this. Our Father, he wants to bless us. There's more blessings that we're not experiencing yet, not really walking in, not really enjoying yet. And tonight, I want to share with you a real key to those blessings. All those blessings. You realize this is a book of blessings from cover to cover? Bless is in the first chapter of the first book. It's in the last chapter of the last book. And Jesus started the most famous sermon ever, the Sermon on the Mount, with the word blessed. I'm just telling you, he wants to bless us. So many blessings. And tonight I want to share with you a real key to being able to receive those blessings, to not miss them. We need to understand that the road to blessing is called perseverance. Y'all got excited, didn't you? I thought so. The road to blessing is called perseverance. Some of the blessings of God come quick and easy. We receive those when we receive Jesus. I mean, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. But a lot of the blessings that God has for us, they don't come quick and easy. In fact, some of them, it's going to take a while. And there's going to be a fight. You're going to have to persevere. But at the end of that road, I'm telling you, there are blessings that God has for you. But you got to go down that road, perseverance road, and don't turn off of it. You know, when somebody's giving you directions, telling you how to get somewhere, I want to tell you how to get to a place called blessed. Now, you're blessed already, but I'm telling you, there's a whole lot more that God has for you. And a lot of people are missing out on a lot of the blessings that God has for them because they don't understand this principle. You're going to have to persevere. But see, to get to that destination, let me tell you how to get there. You get on this road called perseverance, and you stay on perseverance road. You just stay on it. Now, it might swerve around this way and that way, but you just stay on it. You don't turn, you don't get off, you don't detour, you just stay on this road, you'll get there. He wants to bless us. That's why he's given us so many promises. Y'all, excuse me. 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. All the promises of God. Why is he giving us so many promises? Because he wants to bless us. And I'm telling you, you have to stand on the promises of God. Anybody know that old hymn, Standing on the Promises? Oh, that's a good one, because I'm telling you, it's Bible. It's biblical. You got to stand on the promise. Ephesians 6:13 tells us that in our spiritual warfare against the powers of darkness, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand. See, he's saying when you've done everything that you know to do, you know what's left to do? You just stand. You don't back down. You just keep going. You just keep doing what you're doing. Stand. But those promises are for us. if we'll persevere and not give up. One of the greatest hindrances to believers walking in greater blessing is that they give up, they quit, they throw in the towel. And I'm telling you, if we persevere, we will receive what was promised. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. And by the way, if you hadn't figured this out yet, Sunday morning we talked about perseverance in producing a crop. And we read a couple of these verses. And I just believe the Lord wants us to really get this and understand how important this is. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, he says, "Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." I know we just want to say, "Lord, you promised it. Just give it to me now. Let's forget about that other stuff." But he says, after you've persevered, he said, you need to persevere, so after you've done the will of God, then you'll receive. You got to persevere. See, when you look at that verse, it's not God's will for you to quit somewhere in the middle. You got to persevere. So then, after you've done the will of God, guess what? You're going to receive what was promised. And the Bible says he's not slack concerning his promise. You know, that particular word is talking about the end time, but I'm just telling you that God is not slack about any of his promises. He keeps his promise. A promise from the Lord is a promise. You might promise your kids something sometime, and because you're human, you might fail to fulfill it. But he's God. He's not a man that he should lie. And he has the power. He has the character. He can fulfill every promise that he's ever made. You know, sometimes he's just not working by our schedule. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You know, I was thinking this morning, you know, with the cool air outside and it was warmer inside and left the door open for just about 30 seconds and had so many flies in the house, and I was thinking, Lord, your thoughts are certainly higher than mine, because I can think of no good reason that you made flies, mosquitoes, or wasps. That's what I said, isn't it? I was like, I don't understand, but you're God and you know what you're doing, so okay. But I'm just telling you that, you know, sometimes his timing may not be what we think it ought to be, but I'm telling you, he's not slack concerning his promises, and all of his promises are yes and amen. We just need to know that the way that so many of those promises are going to come to pass is right here in Hebrews 10:36. He says, you need to persevere. This is a word for you tonight. You need to persevere, so that after you've done the will of God, you'll receive what was promised. Some blessings are going to come easy. Some are not. I'm just letting it soak in, because I'm telling you, it's really important to know this. It's one of the reasons that so many people get discouraged and disillusioned and they give up. It's because they don't understand this. Some are not going to come easy. Some are going to try you. James 1:12. Blessed is the man. By the way, I'm using the New International Version tonight, because many of the scriptures in the King James would say patience, and some translations they'll say endurance, but especially the word patience. 16th century English, the word patience meant something quite different than the way we use it today. In fact, it meant basically what we mean when we say perseverance. Nowadays, we use the word patient, and we think of sitting around waiting, but that's not at all what biblical patience is or what the word perseverance is, of course. It has to do with us being able to keep going, to just keep moving forward, to, well, endure. But blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now notice, blessed is the man who perseveres. Get that. Blessed is the person that perseveres. See, when we're obeying God, we're standing on the promises of God, we're doing what God wants us to do, then we just got to keep doing it. We just have to persevere. He said, under trial. See, sometimes it's going to be difficult. There's going to be a testing, and you just got to keep going. Notice, you need to persevere. He says, because when he has stood the test, and there's that talking about standing again, that's when you're going to receive, when you have stood the test. A lot of people miss the blessing of God because they get distracted by something off the road. Stay on the road called perseverance. Don't get distracted and get off the road. You know, going off-roading is kind of a popular thing. It's been somewhat popular out here on our church property. If y'all didn't know that, sometimes they've, you know, mudded around in the pasture over here and then drive across our parking lot, and the staff gets to spend 2 or 3 hours cleaning that up and things like that, and we persevere. But I'm just, you know, it's kind of a popular thing is off-roading, but you never want to go off-road from this road. The road to blessing is called perseverance. You just got to keep persevering. And believe me, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for a detour. I want to tell you something. The Lord doesn't ever take you down detours. We go down them sometimes, but it wasn't God. And in his grace, if we'll trust him with all our heart, he can bring us back from a detour. James 1:13, we're just reading on from where we were there, James 1:12. The next verse, he says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own desires he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to, help me, death. I want you to remember that. See, we got to realize when we're tempted to sin, it is our own evil desire. It is not God. Now, Satan certainly can set us up. Satan can use people. He can use situations and circumstances. He tempted Jesus, and I tell you, he can certainly set us up for temptation. But the Bible tells us very clearly that it is our own evil desires that drag us away into sin. And he says that when that desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and then sin gives birth to death. So, as we go down the road to blessings, there's going to be all kinds of distractions. Lots of other roads. Some will say, so you got these signs for other roads. We're on the one, it says Perseverance Road. That's the road we're on. Here's another one. It says Easy Money. Ooh, wait. Here's one that says, Your Dreams Come True. Here's one that says pleasure. Here's one that says you can be popular. Here's one that says beautiful woman, sweet talking man. All kinds of signs, all kinds of roads along the way. But let me tell you something. You want to stay on Perseverance Road, because none of those other roads will end in blessing. In fact, they'll end in destruction. They'll end in trouble. Nothing will destroy the blessings that God has down the road for you faster than sin. I'm so glad that He's gracious and merciful and that He can bring us back, but I'm just telling you that so often people miss the blessings of God because they went off road into some area that God never intended them to be. We're under grace, we're not under law, and because of that, I'm telling you, there are blessings that are freely given to us, but I'm telling you the truth tonight when I tell you that there are also blessings that are only going to come through perseverance. And you know how I know that? Because I just read it in the Bible. You need to persevere so that after you have done the will of God, then you will receive what is promised. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. I'm telling you, it's over and over and over again. We have to stay on the road to blessing called perseverance. All kinds of things that come our way and test us and try us, things that are contrary to our faith and how we're believing. And you know what? When those things happen, it's always easier to just quit. But you need to remember there's a reward that's coming for those that persevere. He said you'll be richly rewarded. So I'm going to go back to that Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. I want to read it one more time. Don't throw away your confidence. It'll be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what He promised. See, you persevere in the will of God. It's not just about being bullheaded. Anybody bullheaded? I want to tell you something. You let the Holy Spirit control that, and it makes for perseverance. But when we're just bullheaded, well, that's just pride. That's just a mess. But I'm telling you, we need to be determined. We need to persevere and not give up, not look back, but keep going. Don't give up on what you're believing for. Don't give up on your loved ones, your neighbors coming to the Lord. Don't give up on your stand for the Lord. Don't give up on your work for the Lord. See, it amazes me. I know that sometimes we grow. That's a good thing. You know, growing is always good. See, I mean, growing up in God, believing for more and, you know, greater harvest and God blessing you with, you know, you've been faithful. He blesses you with more. See, all that's good. I want you to understand. But sometimes people believe that God wants them to do this or do that or that this is the will of God. And they start doing it. You know, this is what's right. And then they quit. And, you know, we as Bible-believing Christians, we, you know, look down our spiritual nose at the world who calls wrong right and right wrong. But I'm just telling you that when we know what's right and we know what we're supposed to be doing and we quit doing it, we quit persevering, guess what? I'm just telling you, you gotta persevere. It's so easy to quit. And it might even be the norm in our day. And I'm telling you, down this road called perseverance, you're going to reap a harvest. Galatians 6, 9, let us not be weary in doing good, but at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. See, you persevere in doing good. You just keep serving God. You just keep working for the Lord. You know, a lot of times when you're involved in the work of the ministry, why aren't more people involved in the work of the ministry? Well, Most of them quit somewhere along the way. The Lord don't ever retire people from the work of the ministry. It doesn't matter if you're 75, if you're 85 years old. Guess what? God still has you here for a reason. So we don't retire from the work of the ministry. But most people, it seems like somewhere along the way, they say, well, you know, I'm going to take a break. And it seems like sometimes what they mean is, from here on out, I'm just telling you, we need to persevere. It may seem like it's frustrating, it's hard, or maybe it's not, you're not getting anywhere, you're not accomplishing anything. Persevere. The harvest will come at the proper time if we just don't get weary. You have to keep going. Talked about this Sunday in the parable of the hearts. The Lord tells us about the seed that fell on the path. Tells us about the seed that fell on the rocky soil, seed that fell among the thorns. And none of them produced a harvest. But what did he say about the good soil? Luke 8:15, he said, But the seed on good soil stands for those with a good and noble heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. See, whatever seed of the word of God that you are believing, that you've put down in your heart and you're believing, you're hanging on to it, you're retaining it, let me tell you how it works. By persevering. That's what it says. By persevering produces a crop. Doesn't happen without persevering. Sometimes it's a little while, sometimes it's a long while, but I'm telling you, it happens by persevering. Now, here's the thing. It takes character to persevere. And the amazing thing is it's one of those cycles. It's like a chain reaction, because when you persevere, it develops more character in you. I mean, the more you persevere, You learn to persevere. And you learn character. God develops that in you. He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. He has begun a work in you. And I want you to understand that God wants to develop character in us. He's more concerned about our character than our comfort. Well, that's shouting ground. I know. We would rather it just be easy. Let's just have the comfort, Lord. But I'm telling you, now don't misunderstand me. God loves you. He wants to bless you. That's what this message is about. He's all about your good. But listen to me, sometimes what we need isn't just to be comfortable. Sometimes what we need is character. We need character to be developed in us, because I'm telling you, there are many, many, many blessings that you won't get to without perseverance, and perseverance takes character. First Timothy 4:16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Are you watching your life? Guess what? Other people are. Persevere in them. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Watch your life closely. I want you to know the world is watching you to see if you're real. They're always looking, especially children, grandchildren, co-workers, your neighbors who don't go to church. They're watching. watching your life. Persevere in them, he says. They're watching to see if we're real. And he says, watch your doctrine. See, don't back down on what you believe. Don't try to make it fit in with the world. Don't try to adjust it to fit your experience and your situation. Instead, believe what God's word says, no matter what. Hold fast to sound doctrine. Don't be moved from that. And here's what he says. You will save both yourself and your hearers. See, when we keep going, when we persevere, it speaks volumes. And when we quit, it speaks volumes. I'm telling you, when they watch you, now, see, when everything is easy and everything is going right for you and everything's falling in place, I realize that that can be a great testimony to the world because they see that God is blessing us and things are going right for us. But I want to tell you something else. When they see you go through a real test, a real trial, and yet you don't waver in your faith, you just stay just like this with the Lord and you keep serving God and working for the Lord, I want to tell you that says more to other people than anything you could ever say. Now, I can say this to the Wednesday night crowd. It is a terrible thing when a parent decides they don't need to go to church anymore or be involved in the body of Christ. It has a devastating effect on their children. In fact, I'm getting off easy saying Wednesday night crowd, but I know the time's coming that the Lord's going to have me say this on the Sunday morning, as it needs to be said. But I'm telling you that the reason, the primary reason that 75 to 90% of teenagers, you hear them in there right now worshiping God? I do. 75 to 90% when they turn 18 and they get out of high school won't go to church anymore. We're not talking about kids that don't go to church. We're talking about of the ones who do. And I believe that the number one reason is because their parents taught them that adults don't need to go to church. And once they're an adult, they don't need to go to church anymore. I'm just telling them, there's other factors, I'm aware of that, but I'm just telling you that's the number one reason. What you live, how your life and your doctrine speaks volumes. And if you watch it closely, I'm telling you, you save yourself and your hearers, people that you influence. Something happens as we travel down this road called perseverance. We become mature believers. Character gets developed. James 1, 2 through 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, character. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, know this, that down the road to greater blessings, there's going to be all kinds of trials. But one of the greatest blessings that's going to happen to you is that you're going to grow up. You're going to mature in Him. You're not going to be lacking anything. You're going to be complete. We might say, well, I don't want to grow up. But I got to tell you, growing up in Him is a wonderful thing. Growing up in Him is when you get to know Him more intimately. You understand him in a way that you never did before. I can assure you that when you've gone through some real life and death kind of trials, there's a closeness that comes with God that wasn't there before. You know him in a different way. And when you grow up in him and you face off with the enemy of your soul, when the powers of darkness are waging their war against you, but you're not lacking anything, it's totally different. You don't get beat up on by the devil anymore. It's a good thing. We can count it all joy when we're facing those kinds of tests and trials, because that perseverance is going to grow us up. We'll be mature, complete, not lacking anything. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be like him, to follow him, to imitate him, to be a partaker of his divine nature. Now I'm telling you, he's more concerned about our character than our circumstance. He cares about your circumstance, but I'm telling you, his way is not always the easy way. It's just the best way, and it leads to life. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Perseverance, the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's always going to be obstacles, always going to be opposition, but we will reach that destination of blessings if we'll just persevere. The world says it's talent. It's timing, it's PR, it's looks, it's money. But in the kingdom, it's character. And it's amazing to me how in the church world today, a lot of people are trying to do it the world's way. And it even gets a lot of credit. It's amazing to me. It's not about talent. It's not about timing. People writing books about it. You know, having your church in the right city at the right time, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I understand the worldly principles of marketing a little bit, but I'm just telling you, in the scripture, in God's kingdom, it's all about character. And he can do whatever. He's the one that promotes. He's the one that blesses. I'm just telling you, we need to realize that God is interested in this working in us, this perseverance. See, it's not just what's at the end of this road, the blessing. It's what God is doing in us along the way. James 5:11 says, as you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. How many times does the Bible say this? Over and over and over. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. See, what a tremendous blessing the Lord brought about in Job's life because he persevered. And when you think of somebody going through a terrible time, I've never known anybody, never even heard of anybody, read about anybody that went through more than Job. And yet, he wouldn't quit. His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? He wouldn't do it. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He just wouldn't give up, wouldn't go back. He just persevered. Job 42, 12 through 17 says, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter, he named Jemima. The second, Keziah. And the third, Karen. Why didn't he name something I could pronounce? Nowhere in all the land were found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. After this, 140 years, he saw his children and their children to the fourth generation, and so he died old and full of years. I'm telling you, this man was blessed, but he had to stay on the road to blessing called perseverance. See, and some of you, I'm telling you, God is going to bless you. He's going to do you good, but you got to stay on this road called perseverance and don't get off. You just keep going. You keep God first. You work hard at your job as unto the Lord and not unto men. You daily take up your cross and follow Jesus. You continue in the word. You keep praying. Pray without ceasing. You keep loving other people and you keep the faith. Persevere. Let's stand and pray. Father, I just thank you for the blessings on our lives today. And Lord, I thank you that you are more than enough to get us through the difficult times. And Lord, that when our strength fails, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Lord, I just trust you, Lord, in my life, in the lives of my brothers and sisters. Lord, that you will make a way. When there seems to be no way, we'll not give up. We'll keep our eyes on you and keep trusting in you and persevere. Lord, for your honor and your glory, we will persevere. And thank you, Lord, for the blessings. Oh, Father, you are so good to us. Be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, bless you.